Not so much. I mean, he doesn't know how to communicate. And I have a couple younger brothers that's the same way. But I have one younger brother who adores David, and he talks to us.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
This is Sasha.
And this is Eli.
And you're listening to WGXC Acre.
Tune in to Radio for Open Ears, Wednesday, March 20th. At 8 p.m., Tony at Large is in with the Eclectic Maniacs show, All System Disco, Seth Davis and Jeff McKinney from the Hudson Studio. Tune in on 90.7 FM.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The National Weather Service in Albany is forecasting a cloudy Tuesday afternoon with a temperature high near 44 degrees and a northwest wind at 3 to 8 miles an hour. It will be partly cloudy tonight with a temperature low of around 22 degrees and a calm wind. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Sunny on Wednesday with a temperature high near 53 degrees. Wednesday night, a slight chance of rain and snow showers between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. Then a slight chance of snow showers after 5 a.m. with increasing clouds and a temperature low of around 33 degrees. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 50 degrees on Thursday. And for Thursday night, rain is likely before 5 a.m. Then a chance of rain and snow. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 34. The sun rose this morning at 7 a.m. and the sun will set at 7:05 p.m. That will give us 12 hours and 5 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes and 54 seconds more than yesterday. So there you have your WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Update. For local news reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lee Jameson of Stuyvesant, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Into my life. life, end of my life. End of my life, end of my life. Got to get you into my life, end of my life. Got to get you into my life, end of my life.
Siders. Good morning, Bright Siders. This is Pastor Kim, your perpetual optimist again, and I want to welcome you back to There's a Bright Side Somewhere. Just wanted to close it off right there. I didn't want to interrupt. Earth, Wind, and Fire, got to get you into my life. We were working to get you onto this air, to get us onto this air this morning. Praise the Lord, and it's so good to be here with you again, my friends. Listen, I want to welcome everybody to the first day of spring. My goodness, so we have the summer coming up next, but we're not going to shoot through spring too quickly. We're just going to say farewell, goodbye to winter 2018, 2019, farewell, goodbye. Don't come back no more, no more, no more, no more. And welcome to the spring. Listen, I have a song I want to start off with today. I have some studio guests here with me, and we're going to come back and chat it up a little bit. But first, I think this song is very appropriate. Celebrating Women's History Month. I'm going to just throw this song up in there. And it's by Andra Day. And the song is, she says, I'll rise up. She says, I'll rise up. And interesting. Let's see if I can get this playing for you, because I'm hearing it for me. Let's see if I can get this playing for you. I had it playing for you in a moment ago. Let's see what we can do about that. Nope, that's not going to do it. So here we go again, Brightsiders. We're trying to work with... Well, I'm going to take, while I'm fiddling around with this thing, I'm going to take this moment to say thank you for all of you who contributed to our 2019 pledge drive for all you with opening ears on WGXC. All right, beloved, look, this is not working, so I'm going to just go into my guests, and we're going to have a little conversation, and then we'll see if it play. But I was going to play Rise Up by Andra Day. All right, so in the studio with me today is Mr. Bill Fisher and Miss Teresa Mayhew, and we are here to talk about housing and hot topic in our country for quite a while, hot topic in this pre-election, presidential election campaigning for the primary season, hot topic for women. I shared once before on the air, and probably anytime I get to tell the story, I guess I will, about as a single mother looking for an apartment. And in California back those days, there were even actually banners outside that said no children allowed. And I know when I moved back to New York, I went to look at an apartment, and the owner of the building said, I don't rent to women with children. And I just asked him, well, where did your mother live? So here to talk a little bit about, you know, fair housing and housing rights and things of that nature are two people who are very knowledgeable in this area, two people who I've known for a little minute, and really delighted to have them here again with us as we getting ready to celebrate Fair Housing Month. This is our Fair Housing, Columbia County Housing Advisory Board Chairwoman, Ms. Teresa Mayhew. Happy Women's Month. And happy spring. And our Fair Housing Officer, Mr. Bill Fisher. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Pastor Kim.
I'm so glad you all are here, because I can't get my music to play. Okay, how about that? We can try an Earth, Wind, and Fire number. But yeah, okay, trying to get you into my life. I'm hearing that. I'm feeling that. So, let's talk a little bit about... first of all, yourselves. I always like to give a self-introduction. So in 60 seconds roundabout, tell us a little bit about Miss Teresa Mayhew, please.
Oh, thank you. Well, I have been involved with the Fair Housing Advisory Board for quite a few years now. Actually, I think since last century. And I've been serving for the last several years as the chair of the committee, the board, actually. And it's been a real privilege to be involved with this group. Bill tell you a little bit more about its charge, but we do have some exciting things coming up for the month of April to celebrate Fair Housing Month. But just to back up, when I'm not working on fair housing issues, I am a resource educator with Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties, and I work out of our Hudson office here in Columbia County.
And I'm going to say a really good resource officer. I mean, your workshops are just easy to understand, and people have always come out, you know, knowing more than when they went in. And you also give little gifts every now and again, too. So,
oh, yeah. Little
incentive. Yeah. So as we get in towards the end of the program today, I want you to share how people can get in touch with you if they want to invite you. And Mr. Bill Fisher, my friend, how are you today?
I'm well, Pastor Kim. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. So would you tell a little people, our Brightside listening audience, a little bit about Mr. Bill Fisher?
Yeah, for many years I served as the compliance officer for a local financial institution, and one of my jobs, among other
regulations that I had to implement was fair housing, and I really have a great love for fair housing. I think what it really does is relieves a lot of anxiety of people who may be going through some eviction proceedings and you know, other housing problems. I think what Pastor Kim said was a good segue into fair housing, because I remember times when people would apply for housing, either purchase or rental, and women were not looked upon as you know, as they should have been. So what Pastor Kim was talking about is what they call familial status, and also gender and so forth, because the gender and the familial status would determine whether or not a woman could get an apartment on her own. Familial status is actually the number of children you have, and you know, sometimes you see signs that say no children, but
those things have changed a great deal. So now it is much more convenient, and you know, much more the ability has increased for women to be able to find rental property or even purchase homes now on their own. So I think, you know, what Pastor Kim brought up was certainly a very important part of fair housing.
So let me ask you a question. You said something about when you were working in a financial institution that you became familiarized with fair housing and it became something that, you know, really grabbed your heart. So, how did that connect? How actually did it come about in the financial institution world?
Well, there were many regulations that were coming up as far as fair housing were concerned, and the ability for banks to make loans to people who to make sure that things were affordable to them. Make sure that they weren't being declined for reasons of their gender, their age, their marital status, also, you know, the things like color, creed, national origin, religion, and so forth. So there were a lot of things that were going on where people were excluded from getting the abilities that they needed, or the consideration that they needed to own a house, so, or to find rental property, or even to get a loan. So a lot of these regulations were coming about because you know, of groups that were advocating for these things, and the government was just had to become more open to these complaints, really. And so that's how these things came about.
So may I ask you, is there still a need for federal or governmental interventions in area of trying to get, according to, you know, your experiences or your opinion?
Well, very definitely, both on, you know, certainly the Department of Housing and Urban Development on a federal level. Then you have the Division of Human Rights on the New York State level. There are other human rights laws, and they, you know, there's definitely a need. You know, as fair housing officer, I do see people who have complaints. The state is very, they publish a tenants' rights guide, which really details a lot of things that are beneficial to tenants and what their rights are. And then you also have the fair housing laws, which also get into a discrimination on a prohibited basis. You know, those that I mentioned before, you know, the race, color, creed, national origin, marital status, familial status, They even have something out there that protects the military if they get called to active duty. They, you know, can get out of a lease, are not subject to paying, you know, the additional money to the throughout the entire lease term. So these things are really beneficial to those folks. So, yes, there is a need for these things. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't understand what their rights are. And when they get a situation like they're being evicted or something, they will call me. And I think much of the time I can ease some of the anxiety that they have over what they're facing, you know, trying to find another apartment or being out by a certain date, because there are laws, particularly the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, which benefits many people who are being evicted. If they get a notice that they have to be out in 30 days, you know, they have much more time than that, because only the court can actually set the date when an individual has to be out. So if they stay beyond their lease term, then, or beyond the date that the landlord's given them to get out, they still have time to arrange their finances, get a new place to live, and so forth.
And that's so important too. You know, I know you know, and probably some of you out there may not know of these kinds of situations. And then some of you have had these experiences, or know people have had these experiences, and they get that letter saying you have to be out by, you know, 5 p.m. or 72 hours or something like that, and you know, or you know, your things will be out on the street. And so it's really good, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to bring this information and have you here to share this information. And again, before we close out, we're going to ask for you to give some information about how people can get in touch with you directly after this. I just want to take a moment and give a pause for the cause. I want to shout out our station manager. She's not feeling well today, but shout out to you, Lynn. We send good prayers and vibes your way and hope that you feel better as the day goes on. We miss you here. We miss you here, and we need you here. So get well. Get well. Feel better. We love you much. And I want to shout out to, as I said, it's Women's History Month. And our station owners is, you know, it's a partnership between a husband and a wife. And so I want to shout out to the visionary for WGXC and Miss Rowe. And just so glad to be here as part of the WGXC family. And want to shout out to all of my sisters out there on Women's History Month. We are talking about housing, and so much of the population are single-headed, female-headed households. And so we, you know, we want you to have some information. We want you to be empowered and to know that there is help for you out there. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM on your radio dial. WGXC Acra, Catskill, and Hudson. For listener-supported radio for open ears. And so we're going to come back to our conversation with our guests here today, Miss Teresa Mayhew and Mr. Bill Fisher. But I think I'm going to try and see if I can get Miss Sandra Day out there for you, because we do want this to be, oh, well. So much for that. I had her and then I lost her. So, okay, we're going to.
She's elusive. She's
true
hiding.
That, true that, true that. But you know me, I listen. I don't give up. I am a perpetual optimist. And we're going to get this thing going. I guarantee you, y'all going to hear some music today. I say we're going to get some music out there to play. But so, Miss Teresa.
Yes. I'm hearing something faint in the background.
Ah.
There you go.
Yeah, but you know what?
Oh,
it's just
we're
too
hearing
low.
It in our headphones, yeah. Oh, it's up there now.
There she is. I told you we'd get some music out there to you. Enjoy Miss Sandra Day. We'll be right back.
I'll rise like the day, I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move my mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again. For you, for you, for you, for you. For that we have each other.
That was Miss Andra Day with Rise Up. I apologize if it was a little difficult to hear. We were working with stuff here. That's why we need your listening support so that we can, you know, get in, you know, some stuff that really gets us moving and grooving, or at least me moving and grooving. But that was Miss Andra Day with Rise Up. And so we're here talking with Teresa Mayhew, our Housing Advisory Board for Columbia County Chairwoman, and Mr. Bill Fisher, our Fair Housing Officer here in Columbia County, New York. There are counterparts. If you're not in the Columbia County, New York listening area, there are counterparts in your county. So we want you to know that there is help out there for you. And if you heard us a little bit ago, Mr. Fisher was talking about the necessity for, you know, help to help tenants and property owners and renters and landlords, and, you know, everybody's dealing with housing, right? There's help out there for you if you need it. And we have something that Teresa wants to share to get you some more help out there. So, Teresa.
Thanks, Pastor Kim. I just wanted to inform everyone that next Wednesday, March 27th, the Columbia County Housing Advisory Board is hosting a landlord-tenants rights forum. It's going to take place in the evening from 6 to 8 p.m., at the Hudson High School Library, and that's located at 215 Harry Howard Avenue here in Hudson. And the program's going to feature a panel of speakers. We're very fortunate to have Bob Romaker from the Legal Aid Society of Northeastern New York joining us, along with Dale Ann Brown, who's with the Central Office Housing Assistance Program, and that coordinates Section 8 housing. Rosalie Charpentier, from the Columbia County Office for Aging, Ed Coons from the Columbia County Department of Health, and then our very own Bill Fisher, our Fair Housing Officer. And they're going to be covering a variety of different topics over the course of the evening, including an overview of the fair housing laws, the landlord-tenant right laws, and then, of course, the rights and responsibilities for both parties. And our legal experts are going to be talking about the various services and options that are available, along with the covering the eviction process and also small claims court. And Dale Ann will talk more about the Section 8 Housing Voucher Choice Program. And then Ed Coons from the Health Department is going to talk about health and safety issues and concerns that sometimes both landlords and tenants encounter. So we're hoping that people will join us. We are encouraging people. The Hudson Library is a lovely room, but we do have space constraints. So we're encouraging people to pre-register. There's no cost to attend this event, but it would be nice to know how many people are going to be joining us to make sure we have enough seating for everyone. And they can contact me at my office, and my number is 518-828-3346, extension 217. That number again is 518-828-3346, extension 217. And if you could give me a call and let me know if you're coming, we'll put you on our list. And we're hoping to have a good turnout. We have a really great group of speakers that are willing and excited to share their knowledge and to try to help people. So I
want to throw out there to all you Brightside listeners as well that, you know, this may not be an area of concern for you right now, but it's information that you can have in case you never know. Somebody might be talking to you about an issue they're going through, and you can tell them, oh, I attended this event, and these are the things I learned and heard, and here's somebody you can talk to. Or you might know somebody that really needs some help right now. Invite them on over. You know, they might be a little shy about, you know, asking for help. But, you know, if you bring them on out with you, they might hear somebody else ask their question.
And, you know, and that's a good point, Pastor Kim, because I was telling Bill earlier, my son, who's going to be 28 in June, when he was at college, he had an apartment along with a bunch of buddies, and they were leaving for the summer. Their lease was running out, and they had left behind some furniture and some odds and ends, and their rent was paid up till the end of that month, and they were making provisions to get a truck to go back and pick up the remaining things, and their landlord disposed of everything. And their landlord, you know, it was against the law what he did, but, you know, they were college kids. He took advantage of their naivete and their, you know, lack of organizational skills or knowledge as to, you know, what to do and how to handle that situation. So, you know, I mean, the School of Hard Knocks is one way to learn about the law, but it's a tough way to learn. And so, you know, we're going to try to provide a lot of good information. We'll have handouts there. And members of our Fair Housing Advisory Board are also going to be present. So it'll be a good opportunity for people to meet some of those individuals as well that are, you know, they volunteer to serve on our board. So we're really grateful for the agencies that, you know, send along representatives to serve in that capacity because, you know, they're taking time out of their work day, but it's an important thing. So we really hope that we have a good turnout next Wednesday night. And, you know, that's to help us kick off Fair Housing Month, which takes place in April.
Okay. Well, beloved, this is Music with a Message and Talk with a Mix, and we're going to mix in some music. We're going to try this again. We're going to see. But this one, I want y'all to hold on if you're out there. And, you know, a little bit of challenge right now. Hold on. Help is on the way. This is Miss Yolanda Adams.
You've got dreams and you've got goals. There's a vision burning down in your soul. Hold on. There's nothing that you can't do. Gotta be driven, motivated to stir up the gift that God has placed in you. Hold on. The future's looking bright for you.
No matter how hard it seems.
No matter how hard it seems.
We never give up. Always believe.
And you gotta hold on.
To your
no,
dreams.
No, no, no. There's nothing that you
do, don't be discouraged by the trials you face. 'Cause your beautiful mind would be a terrible thing to waste. Hold on, hold on. The future's looking bright for you.
The negative things in your life can make you think that your dreams are impossible. You'll never be able to overcome them. You have to deal with all kinds of things. Today, your past, regrets, all those things. You're even dealing with drugs, alcohol, maybe teenage pregnancy, peer pressure, violence. I don't know. You may be dealing with the thoughts of suicide, but I want to tell you something. If you don't believe in yourself, who else will? God has a plan for you.
Yes, beloved, hold on to your dreams. For so many people, our housing is our dream. Just to have someplace decent, affordable, safe, you know. We were talking a little bit behind the scenes here, and, you know, our population is aging. People are living to almost 100, you know, in a lot of instances. I don't remember what the median age for Americans are right now. But I know that I heard, I think it was Berry Gordy on a television program. He was getting an award, and he said, well, his doctors told him they can keep him here to 120, you know. So, of course, he's got money for the best, but, you know, it'll trickle down to the rest, you know. So people are living longer, and there are issues and concerns that arise out of that, even regarding housing. So, Bill, you want to talk a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, I'd really like to talk about that, because many of the calls that I do get are from senior citizens, and the seniors often wonder about, you know, support animals and whether or not they can have pets in a facility. And the law says really that with a support animal, the landlord or management has to make reasonable accommodations for them, so that they do have an opportunity to have this companion with them. Another thing with seniors that happens often is that there are other things that have to be done to an apartment, you know, to make them accessible, like ramps, handicap ramps, and also maybe widening doorways and so forth for wheelchairs and things like that. And These are all things that the landlord has to consider. Sometimes the tenant has to pay for these things, but it's the landlord can't really object to them. So, you know, these things have to be done. Oftentimes, a senior may run over a lease arrangement and be, have great anxiety over the possibility of being evicted and so forth. Another thing, too, if a senior is going to go into assisted living, they're leaving the place where they live and they have a lease and they may be going into an assisted living arrangement, or they may be going on to take up residence with, their son or daughter. A landlord does have the obligation, if the landlord can get the proper medical certifications and so forth, to release them from the leases. So occasionally I will get a call from a senior who says, I have this long-term lease, but, right now I can't keep up my household duties by myself. I can't live independently, and I need to be, going into an assisted living facility or maybe joining my children for housing and so forth. So I have a caretaker there. And do I have to pay beyond that lease now or pay the remaining term of the lease? And these kind of things are very important financially to the individual. And the truth of the matter is that if they can get the proper, medical certifications and so forth, that they can't any longer live on their own, that they can be released from these leases. And that's the kind of questions that you might get from a senior. And as Pastor Kim says, people are living longer, so these kind of things are going to happen more frequently.
Absolutely. And I think statistically, women live longer than men. So this is another women issue, of course, it pertains to our brothers, the other half of the human population. But certainly, women need to know, because a lot of times as well, there are men who handle these kinds of, the man in the home or the man of the house might handle certain kinds of issues. And then all of a sudden now you're faced with things you never had to deal with before. And it's good to know that there's help out here. Mm-hmm. It's good to know. Teresa, you were making some observations as well along these lines. And
I just concur with everything with what Bill is saying. And, the other thing with seniors is that they're very hesitant sometimes to come forward and voice their concerns. They don't want to make a lot of trouble, we live in what some might consider less civil times. And, it's very easy for some misunderstandings to morph into something a little bit more, difficult and challenging and contentious. So, the more information we can arm people with, whether it's starting out when they're in college and they're dealing with their first apartment, to try to assure that they have a good experience with that as young adults. And then as you age and, you were saying the dream of everyone is to own their own home. That's not always possible for everyone. So learning everything that, your rights as a tenant, especially. And then also responsibilities of landlords. We don't want to overlook their part of this, because there are good landlords out there that maintain safe buildings. They want to do what's right by their tenants. They want to get good tenants in and keep those tenants. So, this program we're doing on March 27th is geared as much to the landlords as it is to, tenants. It's a partnership, and that's what we really want to foster and cultivate. So, anything we can do to improve dialogue between landlords and tenants is also, a real plus. Someone asked me the other day about if you're a tenant, if your landlord can just willy-nilly show up, while you're at work in your apartment. And Bill and I were talking about this a little earlier, and And no, they really can't, unless it's an absolute emergency, like a water leakage or a fire or something like that. They have to provide you with a reasonable amount of time to go in if they want to do a repair, let's say. And Bill, you were saying that was about, what, 24 hours?
Yes.
At the minimum. And, you know, so, I mean, just those kinds of things that people might not be aware of. And this document that Bill referenced, the Tenants' Rights Guide, which is published by the Office of the New York State Attorney General, is really, you know, a valuable resource. I'm sure people can gain access to it online as well. But it's a handy little reference publication that no tenant should be without, in my book. And also, you know, landlords as well, because it all boils down to good communication, a two-way communication, and really listening to the concerns of both parties to try to get resolution to some of these issues that we do get, you know, when they call Bill as fair housing officer.
Well, we are winding up time, and I'm just so sorry that, you know, we're out of time just about. But I do want to clarify, because a lot of people do expect that the end of the sentence of everyone's dream is to own a home. But my sentence was everyone's dream is to have a safe, decent, affordable home, yeah. You know, and, you know, so that's the American dream, right. Is that I can live someplace and it can be clean. It can be safe. I can feel the dignity. I can feel valued, you know.
Right.
And yeah.
That's what I meant. Thanks for clarifying.
You're welcome.
If I could just have the opportunity to say, pick up on one thing that that Teresa said with regard to seniors are hesitant to come forward, mm-hmm. Because they fear retaliation or harassment. And these things are definitely against the law. They can have... you know, they're against the penal codes, and they can even have some monetary effect, you know, when it comes to any kind of court action and that type of thing in favor of the senior. But we do find that more with seniors, that they do fear retaliation or harassment because they're at a point in their life where they say, well, if I'm forced to leave here, where do I go?
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they feel like they don't have a lot of options. But right. They do have the law in their favor. It's just getting them to, you know, apply that.
Right. And see, the other thing is, you know, if you're dealing with, you know, a major housing management company or a developer or whatever, they have financial resources, right? And so how can I take them to court? I can't afford a lawyer. But, you know, there are legal services. There are free legal services. And so if you come out on the 27th, you'll find out more. You'll find out more about what's in store. So we got a couple of more minutes. And I just want to say we have this the poster contest that's coming up.
Yeah.
And that is so much fun. So will you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yes, we sponsor annually a Fair Housing Poster Contest. It's open to third and fourth graders in Columbia County. And this year the theme is the people and houses on my street. And we encourage all schools and even homeschooled children, as long as they're third and fourth grade, to participate. And they get to show their creative side, their artistic side. And we are always amazed at the quality and the creativity that goes into the creation of these posters. And we will be actually our housing advisory board will be judging the posters prior to the forum,
mm-hmm.
and we will have some of the entries out for people's choice. So if you come, you can help pick your favorite poster, and we have a people's choice selection along with first, second, and third place and honorable mentions in each grade. So it's exciting for the kids. It's a really nice little program for the teachers. It gives them an opportunity to talk a little about fair housing in their classroom. and to teach children at an early age. And then the great thing about when you reach out to children, they go home and they tell their parents.
That's right.
So it's a great way to reach those adults out there that we realize are very busy and inundated by a lot of other things. But the poster contest has been, oh my goodness, it's been going on in this county for probably 20 years or more. It's a great opportunity to get the message out to our youngest citizens.
So if you have any third or fourth graders out there, ask them if they know about it, and you know, and see if their teacher, their school is participating. And I remember when my son was in, you know, I think kindergarten or first grade back then, I was smoking, and he came home and said, "Ma, you gotta stop smoking. It's bad for your health." You know, so the kids will bring the message home. You know, "Ma, we gotta work on what's going on our block," or you know, whatever the case may be. Well, beloved, we are. We're down to the wire, whatever the way you say that. That's where we're at this program point. We are about ready to leave up out of here. I do want to ask Teresa to give you contact information once again,
right,
as well as Bill to give you contact information once again. So get your, you know, smart device or your pad or pen or your tablet, whatever it is that you make your notes on. They're going to give you some contact information.
Okay, so if you want to come to the forum on March 27th from 6 to 8 at the Hudson High Library, call me at 518-828-3346, extension 217, and let me know you're coming. And Bill, what's your contact information?
Well, you can contact me at 518-828-0342, or you can write me at 401 State Street, Hudson, New York, 12534. That is the office of the Columbia County Board of Supervisors.
And also, you can just shoot me an email at wgxc.org, or Bright Side somewhere, Pastor Kim, and I'll get that information to you as well. Well, beloved, it's been wonderful to have you two here with me again. You know how I feel about you. You know, just love you guys and all that you do. And listen, Brightsiders, you know, I try to give a spiritual commentary. I realize that we've been running out of time on our program a lot lately, and I haven't really had a chance to do that much. And I just wanted to, you know, say some words to those of our brothers and sisters in the Islamic faith. And we do mourn with you for the shock to your community of what has happened in New Zealand. So, you know, prayers are going out. We can't resolve differences. We cannot resolve our different opinions and different experiences by killing off each other and with violence and with hate. So we have to learn how to love one another. We have to learn how to share this planet.